Roto Experts in the Morning with your host Greg Sussman, Adam Ronis, and Scott Engel is on now.
It is Friday, October 21st, 2016, and this is the final Roto Experts of the week here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You want to join in, 844-843-6879, 844-84-FNTSY. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by the king, Scott Engel, and of course, Adam Ronis. Scotty, good morning.
How are you? Enjoyed watching the second half of football last night.
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for asking. I'm glad you enjoyed watching the second half of football. Ronis, you told me just a moment ago off the air, you let quite a few curse words while watching the football game last night.
Yeah, it was tough to watch. Yep. Aaron Rodgers needed about 100 passes to finally get his first 300-yard game since week 9 of last year. It was ugly in the first half. And in a game where he attempted 56 passes, nice to see Jordy Nelson catch one pass for 9 yards. Davante Adams, who a lot of us thought wouldn't play. He had a concussion on Sunday, and he plays in a career best, 13 catches, 132, 2 touchdowns on 16 targets. Randall Cobb missed a touchdown. At least he got one, but yeah, he had the opportunity to get two others. I think we all thought Montgomery would have a big game. He did. Obviously, the Bears took a big hit with Brian Hoyer going down. So I think a lot of people had Cameron Meredith going, and why not? 27 targets over the last two games. He did nothing. You had
one catch.
I feel like you're just taking my job away from me right now.
I'm just saying, it was, I don't know, I thought it was a real deflating game last night for fantasy purposes, outside of a few players. Because, again, I don't think a lot of people had Davante Adams in their lineup. Sure, Aaron Rodgers came through, which it's about time. Hoyer was probably started by a lot of people, and, of course, he got hurt. If you had Jordan Howard, you were probably feeling good. 2 weeks ago, you had an RB1. Now you don't know what the hell's going on, as Kadeem Carey played more snaps than him and had more touches. Zach Miller salvaged his day late, but it still sucked, 2 for 40. It was just, I thought overall it was a real deflating performance for fantasy purposes last night. Unless maybe you just had Cobb, maybe you just had Ty Montgomery, maybe people were desperate and used Don Jackson. That did not work out well. It's just, overall, I thought it was terrible.
All right, and with that, we might as well just go right to the commercial. All right.
Well, to put some of that in perspective, like I always say, don't freak out as right as Adam is. You know, if you just had one of these guys.
What if you had three of them? What if you had three of them combined for 7 points?
Let me get to it.
Not that we don't really have that.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm
talking for a friend.
If you had one of these guys, or you're playing against one of these guys, one player in one game. That said, I was about to get what Adam just said. I had Jordan Howard and Cameron Meredith in one of my lineups. You're not feeling too good. And this is sometimes why I sometimes talk about, like, I don't like having too many players from the same team, because in one league I had Jordan Howard, Cameron Meredith, and Zach Miller. And it was so tight for me between Miller and Rudolph. I said, you know, what if in a divisional game for some reason, you know, they don't play well, I could be screwed. And, look, the game's not over, but I don't feel good with Cameron Meredith and Jordan Howard. If you got one of those guys, though, you know, I'm not freaking out necessarily, but with Jordy Nelson, what did he have, like 4 targets? It's like the big thing that I took away from this is that it took Aaron Rodgers a lot of volume to resuscitate the offense, but he did it without Jordy being involved.
So that's where I want to start. I know Ronis did such a fantastic job recapping everything, but that's where I want to start, Scotty. When you said it, you said it too, Adam, is that, oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers back over 300 yards for the first time all season. Yeah, 56 attempts. 56 attempts.
Career high 39 completions.
39 completions, that's right, and everything seemingly underneath. They obviously had no running game. Don Jackson left the game injured himself with a hand injury. This was a Ty Montgomery show, as we expected. Nile Davis didn't know the offense. He came in for 2 carries at the end of the game. But Aaron Rodgers passing all over the place, and it was not the deep passes working the corners of the field like we are used to seeing from Aaron Rodgers. It was all short and up the middle, which rendered Jordy Nelson useless, and he had 1 catch for 9 yards. There was one bomb that Rodgers looked to him and did not pull the trigger on. And the night where, as you just said, Scott, Aaron Rodgers threw for a career-high 39 completions, Jordy Nelson had just one of them. And that's extremely, extremely scary as a Jordy Nelson owner.
Yeah, he came in, you know, with 5 touchdown receptions. It's like they use him as like a goal line guy. But it's so much, you know, and the broadcast were talking about it. And we were saying it yesterday, guys are just not getting open and they're not doing anything. Even Bill Carroll was talking about it last night, you know, to stack their routes, run pick plays, you know, fix the design. So what they did is they adjusted and they threw shorter and they leaned on their receivers to make things happen after the catch.
Would you trade or try to trade Ronis Aaron Rodgers right now?
I don't know what the perception is out there by other people. Again, for a long time, he didn't get that criticism. It's starting to come.
Right.
People look at the stats. The schedule upcoming is pretty good. The thing is, though, he might have to throw 45 times consistently right now. They clearly don't have a lot of confidence in Jackson. I know he got hurt, but you could see beforehand they didn't use him in the game much. So I know Nile Davis just came there. It seems Montgomery has been good out of the backfield, although a stupid play. This guy's not used to being a running back near the goal line, and then you give him the football there after calling a timeout. So I think there's blame to be put on everyone. I just don't think you could feel great about this offense going forward just because of what we saw yesterday. It was a lot of volume.
So the reason what Deion Sanders said at halftime, too, he said, I'm sitting here down on the field watching the play,
and
Aaron Rodgers doesn't look any different to me. It's his supporting cast is completely letting him down, and nobody's getting over
it. I'm sick of hearing
that. Yeah, me too. Because
not
look,
you, it's a Deion. I'm sick of hearing that.
If you're an elite quarterback, you got to throw receivers open a little bit. I saw a couple times, like, there was not a lot of separation, but
that
lead the receiver.
Against Dallas last week was horrible.
Yeah, like, and he missed Cobb wide
open.
He missed Cobb wide open in the end zone. Can people go back and play that video and then tell me that Aaron Rodgers' supporting cast is the problem? Rodgers seems gun-shy. He has a lot of time there. They showed, I don't know how much of the Cowboy Packer game you watched, but it was unbelievable. He was sitting back there.
Even yesterday, he was looking this way, and he's looking that way, and he's looking that way, and he's dancing, and he's not throwing.
Gun-shy is the right word, Ronis. I'm going to go back to that deep pass he didn't throw to Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson made a double move, and he was gone. I mean, he was gone down the right sideline, exactly what he was looking for, and Rodgers didn't throw him open like you used to. Maybe there's no confidence. He doesn't have the confidence in Jordy he once did. But he is gun-shy to pull the trigger, and that he has so much time, he sits there and holds on to it. I'm not used to that.
He's waiting for guys to get open.
Instead of getting them open.
We see,
or trusting them.
We see elite quarterbacks throw receivers open.
Yeah.
The one time he anticipated was on that touchdown to Devontae Adams
sure.
He like put it out you know, behind the
defender,
and Adams just made
that was
a
all
fantastic
Adams that play.
It was a terrible throw.
But you know what, though? I'm saying, though, he did trust his receiver on that play.
On that particular player, I agree with you. You're right. But for the most part, he's not trusting his receivers. He's not throwing them open. It's just they get open and then he pulls the trigger. Sometimes, including last night, and you saw it, he's just late. He's getting there late.
Elite quarterbacks raise the level of their team, their receivers and their teammates.
Now, let's kind of get to these receivers here. And let's start with Devontae Adams. You said it, Ronis. No one started him. Now, all yesterday, I'm banging the drum for my guy, Jeff Janis, right? On every show I was on, what do you think of Jeff Janis tonight? What do you think of Jeff Janis tonight? And this is all assuming that Devontae Adams didn't play. Well, you know what? If Jeff Janis was in Devontae Adams' spot, I'd feel pretty good right now. He wasn't. Devontae Adams, the third wide receiver, somehow he wasn't concussed, I guess, after Sunday. He has the best game of his career, 13 receptions, 132 yards, 2 touchdowns. Ronis, knowing that Aaron Rodgers does not trust the deep ball anymore, knowing that Jordy Nelson clearly must not be 100%, is Devontae Adams trustworthy moving forward?
Maybe as a wide receiver 3. This game, he just seemed to be wide open all the time. And, you know, he's had some good games this year, but we've also seen a lot of, you know, 3 for 20s, 4 for 40s. So if I had Devontae Adams today and someone was going to buy on him, I don't mind selling him.
Okay. As you said, he's had some fine games, some bad games. Against the Giants, 5 for 85 and a touchdown is a good game. He had 8 targets in that one. Opening day, he had 3 for 50 and a touchdown. That's pretty good. He has been involved in the red zone a lot. He has 5 touchdowns on the year, so that's pretty good.
I will say this. I think he's a good receiver, but because of last year where he was expected to step up in a big-time role and it didn't happen, I think people soured on him. A lot of people got burned last year. I know I drafted him. Once Jordy went down.
I traded for him.
Yeah, and I expected him to have a big year, and he didn't. And I think we all discussed it before the year. Maybe now in a more complimentary role where you have Jordy and Cobb getting most of the attention, that could help Adams. It did yesterday, but obviously we're not going to see consistent performances like this. He only had one game of more than three receptions going into last night.
I also think.
Yeah,
I also think what contributes.
He was
Scott,
like that. He was.
I also think what contributes to Devontae Adams here and his perhaps ongoing success is that the fact that the offense is not what it used to be. Is that it is kind of all contained a little bit down the middle, and that's not where Jordy plays. Obviously, Randall Cobb is his side, and I think Devontae Adams across the middle, he could be an asset moving forward.
Well, they used him on the outside too, so you know Cobb is the slot guy.
Right.
2 years ago, we saw Devontae Adams show a lot of promise like he did yesterday, and he had a good game a few weeks ago, I think. But 2 years ago, you know, where we got excited about Devontae Adams, he was the third option in the passing game.
Right.
We had some nice performances, but the consistency wasn't there. And that's the thing. I don't think there's going to be any consistency going forward because I feel like going forward, you know, they're going to say, okay, you know, we got to get Jordy back involved
right.
somehow.
16 targets last night for Devontae Adams, and I agree. They're going to say they need to get Jordy more involved.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, Scotty. With the injuries at running back, let's just pretend Don Jackson just broke his hand. I have no idea. All I know is he had a hand injury and didn't come back in this game. Let's assume Don Jackson all of a sudden broke his hand. There's no Don Jackson for now. There's no James Starks for now. Eddie Lacy is on IR. Is the Packers' offense going to be what we saw last night where they just don't run the ball or they run it to Ty Montgomery and Randall Cobb? Is this the Packers' offense? He's going to throw it 60 times a game?
Well, they use the fullback a little bit. I don't think
right.
it is. I think, you know, if Jackson is hurt, you know, this team has never put a major emphasis on the running back. We saw they didn't run Lacy enough when he was there.
Right.
I think Niall Davis might be the long-term guy, you know, to lead the team in carries.
So you don't think that this is what we saw last night?
I think
it's
a temporary fix.
What about you, Ronas? We know that Niall Davis sucks. We have seen that over and over and over again. And I'm sure Mike McCarthy and Green Bay know that Niall Davis is not a good football player, not a good running back. Maybe he's a good punt returner, kick returner. I kind of feel like this is the offense we're going to get going forward. You're going to see Aaron Rodgers throw at least 50 times a game going forward.
I think it should be. It's worked here the last 2 weeks, but I don't know if they want Rodgers to throw this much. So I think they will get Davis in the mix to create somewhat of a balance, but I don't know how good he's going to be. You know, he does have the ability for these explosive plays, but he's going to need a lot of volume to produce in fantasy. So I do think we're going to see Rodgers throw the ball quite a bit, and you know, Montgomery has been a weapon out of the backfield. And when you have, we could say Jordy's not the same player, but teams are still going to respect
sure.
him. You have to worry about Cobb, and now people are going to be like, okay,
Adams.
We can't ignore
yeah.
Adams either. So that's creating opportunities for Montgomery out of the backfield to rack up a ton of targets. This is 2 weeks in a row.
Let's continue.
I just wanted your statement, and I feel like, you know, he kind of hit it on the nose. You say Niall Davis sucks.
He
does. You know, you make like he's useless.
Right, I think he is.
2014, when they put him in the game,
right.
you know, he had back-to-back 100-yard games.
Right.
And he had three touchdowns in three straight games.
Right.
I'm not saying Niall Davis is any sort of superstar, but
right.
if a guy totally sucks, I don't think he can put up those kind of numbers. I know he got some volume in one of those games, but he also had a 16-carry, 107-yard game. I don't know if he totally sucks.
Well, he was in a great system for running backs. Almost yeah. every running back that we've seen come through there has produced. I mean, look at what Spencer Ware is doing now. And the Chiefs have been wanting to get rid of this guy for a long time. So
the reason that,
to me, that's a bad sign.
The reason I say Niall Davis sucks is, as you pointed out, what people liked about him before, right, in 2014. I think mm-hmm. those numbers you pointed out obviously are very correct. But last year, again, a great system for running backs. He was the backup going forward. He got passed by not one guy, by two guys. And Jamaal Charles gets hurt, and he doesn't do anything. I know the yards per carry in his career are not good. I'm looking for the number. I don't have it in front of me.
3.3.
That's very bad, obviously. To me, they will not rely on Niall Davis in any significant role.
I don't think they're going to rely on, now that Eddie Lacy is. I don't think you can use the word Packers and rely when it comes to the running game.
I agree.
Anybody.
I totally agree with you. Absolutely. And I'm just making it clear, I don't think Niall Davis is going to be the guy either. Ronis, you mentioned Ty Montgomery. If there's one running back for the Packers, Scotty, that I'm going to trust, I think it's Ty Montgomery. They use him out of the backfield quite a bit. They even do the passing runs where he just kind of leaks out and Aaron just throws it for 1 yard and lets Ty Montgomery run around. I think if there's one running back, quote-unquote, that you can rely on, it's Ty Montgomery. He had 9 carries for 60 yards last night and another 10 passes out of the backfield or short passes for 66 yards. That is a reliable player.
It is. I think they're going to use him in a sort of unique role that you just don't see anywhere else. But as far as the situation, I could see it being a committee.
Ronis, to me, Scotty just hit the nail on the head. They're going to use Ty Montgomery in a role that you have not seen anywhere else, where he is a wide receiver playing running back. They're going to give it to him, let's say, 5 to 10 times a game out of the backfield, mostly short passes, and see what he can do in the open field. That is somebody with the amount of usage that I need to get in my lineups.
Yeah, I think for now, at least, until we see things change. So,
and I don't know if they will.
They might not. Again, it was effective this week, and when you're looking at someone that's getting 10 receptions and getting the targets.
Back-to-back weeks now.
Yeah, and it seems like they have confidence in him. Again, I don't know. I don't think they have much confidence in Jackson. It's tough to tell, but he wasn't in there early in the game.
Nope.
They didn't use him near the goal line. They used an inexperienced Montgomery on 4th-and-1, which was stupid, but whatever. Right now, I'm going to play him again next week.
Absolutely.
He played running back in high school, if that
makes sense.
I picked him up. And I was able to get him in only one league, but I put him in the lineup.
As you should have. Now, this is now, three games in a row, Randall Cobb back on the map here. And I think this, like I keep saying, this is the Packers' offense. And if that's what they're going to keep doing, Randall Cobb is going to continue to be a large part of it. He was second on the team with targets with 15 yesterday. 11 receptions, 95 yards. He did wind up with that touchdown. He probably should have had a couple more. Couldn't get the second foot down on the second one. And he is as involved. This is when you drafted Randall Cobb, this is all you ever asked for at this moment. We've talked quite incessantly over the last 6 weeks, Scott, of Randall Cobb versus Golden Tate. And right now, both of them coming off very good games. And Randall Cobb, like I said, if you drafted him, this is all you could ever ask for.
Yeah, I think I'll trust Cobb more going forward. I don't expect any consistency from Tate. But you know, like you said, if they're going to continue to run this kind of offense, quick hits, run after the catch.
Yep.
I think that suits Cobb very well. I agree with you.
Scott, I know you don't like to look at the opponent. Do you do it on a Friday morning after the Thursday night game?
No.
In the FNTSY Cup, we're playing Eric Young. He started Brian Hoyer, Jordan Howard, and Alshon Jeffrey.
Nice.
So you're going to beat Eric Young.
We had Cameron TKO. Meredith, but we got Cobb to give us 28. So it doesn't mean anything because, again, a lot of our guys could fall flat. See, we had a tough decision, and I feel like Scott and I just we're making a lot of wrong decisions every week. We agreed.
It was a good one.
This
was a good one.
I thought we both wanted Cobb in, and we both wanted Robinson.
Yeah.
Then it came down to, do we play Cameron Meredith, Brandon Cooks, or Emmanuel Sanders? Cooks struggles on the road. It's apparent. Sanders has been solid, but Simeon wasn't great last week. And Meredith, 27 targets the last 2 weeks with a team
and
with
three top quarterbacks
missing. It makes sense. Yeah, so I just felt like it hasn't worked out for us.
This is the best example of what happened to Cameron and Meredith last night about what Tony Sincotta says, don't confuse
right, no,
the
it was the right decision, and Brian Hoyer got hurt. Who could have foreseen that?
People want to blame fantasy experts because Meredith didn't perform probably. You know, all of a sudden you play with Matt Barkley. What are we going to do?
The whole complexion of that game changed. Barkley came in. He was terrible. You could see it.
Meredith only got two targets. So
I know.
He really wasn't getting looks when Hoyer was in there.
Yeah, but it was what? Hoyer was in there for three drives, maybe?
Yeah.
Look, Hoyer did not look good early on, but again,
he's better than Matt Barkley.
Right. And things could have changed.
Not saying much.
No,
things could have changed as that game went along, so I don't think you can look at it like that. But, man, you know, you mentioned people who went in on the Bears, and Eric Young's the perfect example, man. I mean, he went in on the Bears, and it didn't work out. I mean, he got bad luck with Hoyer starting. I mean, there were some people.
I don't want to do that. One of my leagues, I have Christian Michael, Jimmy Graham, Tyler Lockett, and Doug Baldwin.
Probably
it's like I got rid of both Seattle wide receivers.
Okay.
Traded Baldwin away.
I guess they're
get Odell.
So what's the? I think I felt like in the past there were more offenses that you felt you can go in on comfortably. I feel like there are less now. New England, I think, is one maybe. If you have like Gronk, Brady, what?
It's just like there's this one guy in my league, you know, I've been in my league with 11 years, and he's like this Patriots homer, and he doesn't give a crap. Out of his 12 guys every year, 7 or 8 would be Patriots. If the Patriots do well, he wins the whole friggin' league. If they don't, he doesn't make the playoffs.
I mean, think about it. Right now, too, especially with Ben Roethlisberger down, because I think we would have said, oh, yeah, if you have Ben Brown and Bell, absolutely. How many offenses right now in the NFL do you actually feel good starting three players? There are
who's the third guy in New England you feel comfortable starting?
Brady, Gronk, and
Edelman?
James White.
At White,
maybe.
Sure.
PPR.
Maybe. See, you said maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, Brady, Gronk, and... I mean, Edelman hasn't done it yet.
You got to think about it, right?
But I'm saying there are very few.
There's no surefire.
No, in the past, though, I think the past couple of years, there was several offenses I felt you could go in on. Even Green Bay in the past. You can't say that now.
Roethlisberger, Brown, and Bell?
Well, Roethlisberger's out.
Right, of course.
That's what I said. I just
when
said
everybody's
that.
Healthy, yeah.
Well, I have a league where I'm starting Gronk, Edelman, and LeGarrette Blount right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's certain weeks, though, that Blount, we haven't seen it yet.
You're not feeling good about Edelman right now, though.
I'm hoping this week.
I would have said Arizona, but I feel like garbage right now if I have Carson Palmer. I don't even want to play him.
Absolutely not.
Like,
absolutely.
I'm playing Kaepernick over him this week.
I agree with it. Totally agree with it. Palmer has looked terrible, and now he's going against Seattle. But, you know, I just thought of that when we were going over this. There are very few guys right now. Scott has said this for years, and I said, Scott, there was always a few offenses where I felt there are three guys.
I just said it wasn't absolute.
Right, no.
For the most part.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying more than ever, your point is correct because I'm going through these teams. To one team, and I can't believe I'm saying this, is probably Atlanta. If I had Matt Ryan, Devonta Freeman, and Julio Jones,
you feel fine.
I feel good every week now.
Right.
Based on what they've done.
Right.
You can't even say that about the Saints with their ineptitude on the road.
Sure.
You can't go Breeze, Cooks, and
Ingram.
And Ingram, who doesn't get the ball at the goal line. So yeah, I think now more than ever, there's a lot of ineptitude in offenses, and you just can't count on it. And especially now with Roethlisberger going down. I don't even know. Detroit has no running game. Stafford and no, there's nobody there.
I can't believe it's a question for you two guys.
Yeah, of course.
Just curious because you bring up Atlanta, like something popped into my head.
Sure.
How deep do the Falcons go in the playoffs this year?
I've been very anti-Atlanta for a long time, even when they had the great record. I always bet against them. Their defense still is not good. That's my biggest issue with them.
That's what I was just thinking. I don't think they can win the NFC.
You know they
defense.
Have. Wait, they have allowed. Okay, well, New Orleans had the bye, but they've allowed two less points than the Saints. But New Orleans played one less game. But
I can't see them going very deep in the playoffs without a better defense.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you get a defense like Arizona and Seattle and Minnesota in there, they're going to have a tough time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some tough defenses in there. They haven't been able to score. We'll see about the Falcons. We'll see how long this one lasts with them. Going back to the Bears, though, for a moment, don't you imagine that all of a sudden next week Jay Cutler's magically healthy again?
Yes.
Well, here's
Matt Barkley.
Here's the bad news with that.
Yeah.
They play the Vikings on a Monday night. Again, why the hell are the Bears in primetime 2 weeks in a row?
Didn't we
get them earlier? Didn't they play the Cowboys on a Sunday night? And didn't they play a Monday night the next week, I think?
I don't know.
What the hell is this?
So it's not the Texans 2 weeks in a row, the Broncos.
Jeez, man.
It happens every
Enough
week.
Bears. They suck. Why do we have to watch this garbage?
They do. Brian Hoyer, Matt Barkley were both awful. Matt Barkley is terrible. You mentioned snap counts for Kadeem Carey and Jordan Howard. I have them for you. Would you like to guess what they were, Ronis?
What are the total?
The total is 48.
48. All right. I'm going to say I saw a lot of Kadeem Carey. I'm going to go 28-20, Carey.
30-18.
Carey or Howard?
Carey.
26-22 in favor of Kadeem Carey.
Okay, yeah.
This, my friends, is a full-blown committee.
I got a text last night. Guess who this is from? Kadeem Carey, brah. So, yes, not a defeat.
Mr. Sleeper Specialist himself.
Yeah, ask me about Alan Jackson today.
Oh. I used him in a league, and our buddy Arthur used him.
So, I'll tell you a story about Arthur during the break, because I saw him before I left last night. I'll tell you about that, because no one else cares about that. Chicago receiving-wise, Matt Barkley, quarterback. Everybody sucked. You mentioned it before, Ronis.
Yeah.
Miller, Jeffrey, Meredith. If Barkley starts on Monday night against Minnesota, probably you can't start these guys anyway
against Minnesota.
Stay away from the Bears, people.
And here's the thing, too, with the Bears running back. Jeremy Langford could be back soon.
This is a disaster.
It's amazing how, like, two weeks ago, Jordan Howard, RB1 the rest of the way. This is why we always say it's week to week, man, because things change so much.
Would you pick Langford up now?
I don't know
when he's going to be back.
The problem is you don't know when he's going to be back. He's probably going to be – this could be a committee with three guys.
Hey, that's what we talked about in the preseason.
And there's six teams on bye the next 2 weeks. You just can't stash guys at this point.
One of them is the Bears. The Vikings play, and then the Bears have a bye. game with the Vikings and the bye for the Bears.
Oh, the Vikings-Bears is 2 weeks?
No, the Vikings-Bears Monday night. After that game, the Bears have a bye.
Okay, okay. All right. Yeah, so then no, I wouldn't waste my time.
By the way, if you want to know who to start and who to sit this week, go to rotoexperts.com. Check out Adam Ronis' Start 'Em and Sit 'Em, part of your exclusive edge in-season fantasy football package at rotoexperts.com. And to Free Radio, check out for a special discount.
Hey, by the way, good thing John Fox, like, is quiet to is, I'm sorry, avoid telling the media about the injuries because it's really helped him going forward and his 1-5 record. His,
yeah,
1-6 record.
He's been phenomenal.
So I really hope John Fox thinks he's getting an edge on his opponents. After the Vikings, by the way, faces the Bucks, the Giants, the Titans, the Niners, the Lions, the Packers, the Redskins, and then the Vikings, week 17. Not a terrible schedule if you do own the Bears. So, all right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go over some more injury headlines from yesterday because it never seems to end. And I'm going to try to discover what the F the Giants are doing with Josh Brown. We'll do it next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Starting here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Greg Sussman, Scott Engel, Adam Ronis, going up to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And Scotty, we all just received an interesting tweet that is what we kind of expected here on the morning after Jordy Nelson's one catch for 9 yards.
Right. And Chris says, would you trade Jordy Nelson for Devonta Freeman? And you said, oh, yeah. You know, which I understand you reacted like mm-hmm. if you had the opportunity to do it. But a lot of times we get these questions and people are not saying necessarily, should I do the deal that's on the table? I'm offering this.
Right.
And what would you do with it? What I'm saying is you're trying to trade Jordy Nelson to me today. I have Devonta Freeman. Why am I going to want to do this?
Right.
What I'm saying, we see a lot of offers like this. I was doing my exclusive Edge Live chat last night on Roto Experts and, you know, I get these kind of offers like, you know, I want to put this and this together to get this. Like, you know, I want to offer like Lamar Miller and, you know, some Midland wide receiver for Mike Evans. You know, you got to get as much as like if you can get like a ripoff trade.
Right.
It's like you have to think realistically about what's going to complete the deal here, too. And the other point I take away from last night, too, is I got a question in the chat last night, too, where a guy said, I'm 5-1, and now I'm thinking ahead to the playoffs. Can you give me some good guys for like week 13, 14?
Right, right.
And I'm like, you're looking way too far ahead of yourself. Because the point being is that we predict a good night for Cameron Meredith. You don't know what's going to happen in any given week. People get too far ahead of themselves.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. All right, let's get to some headlines here from yesterday. And start with LeSean McCoy again. McCoy looks to be out, although a conflicting report came in late last night that maybe he's not out this week. We'll see. But does that make, you know, revenge game, Mike Gillisley a must-start, Scott Engel?
A must-start. I have him as a very strong start. It always depends on who else you have. You know, must-start, you got to be in like Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell territory.
Okay.
He's not there, but a very strong start. Actually, one of my leagues, I started him over Jordan Howard.
That worked out well.
Yes.
That obviously worked out very well. I would not have the balls to do that, by the way. Good
yeah,
job.
I felt like Green Bay's run defense was going to rebound. There was a little bit of the carry factor. And now, you know, look at this team. It's like, you know, they might be rolling out Marquise Goodwin and Brandon Tate at wide receiver this week. You know, they might have to lean a lot on the running game.
Well, they will anyway.
Yeah.
To me, Buffalo is not going to change the way they are designed, and that is featuring the running back. And Gillisley, to me, is getting 20 touches this week, and it's a good matchup. I think it's tough to label him a must-start, but he's close. He really is.
Yeah.
He's going to get the volume this week. I have him in three leagues. He's starting in all of them.
Latavius Murray should be back, Ronis. It seems he's practiced the last couple of days. I don't know how much work he's getting in, but he should be practicing. But given that this is an injury, given that he very well could re-injure himself on Sunday, I'm kind of avoiding the Raiders' backfield.
Yeah, I think if you're desperate, you're going to use them. But that's the problem is we've already seen how this works out. And they've kind of used, when Murray is healthy, four running backs. They'll spread it out. They'll use Alawale on the goal line. And the Jaguars' defense against the run has actually been pretty good. So this is not an easy matchup. And then when you talk about the distribution between DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard, it's not an ideal situation. So I would try to avoid. Like, I definitely play Gillis Lee and Jaquizz Rodgers over any Raiders running back this week.
Let me ask you a question, Greg.
Yes,
sir. What makes you worry about him re-injuring it if he's practicing in full and he's cleared?
You know, it's just the type of injury, I think, that scares me. That's all. Yeah.
I think if a guy's a questionable game-time decision, like, I'm more worried about re-injury. Like, you know, if the staff clears him, I think I'm more worried more about the shared carries.
Are you never worried about someone re-injuring themselves if the medical staff clears him? We see it with hamstrings all the time.
It depends on the type of injury.
Sure.
The hamstring, yes, you're correct.
Right. Yeah. So is it that crazy that I'm worried about, like, Latavius Murray?
Well, what's the nature exactly of the
injury?
Well,
he had a toe injury that weren't sure if it was turf toe. Like, those things just bother you all year long.
Yeah, but I think by the time you're cleared for it, though, it's like you're good enough to play.
Oh, I don't agree. I think turf toe is more of a pain tolerance thing, and that if he just does the wrong thing with that foot, he's out again.
I feel like the Raiders aren't going to put him out there before he's ready, though.
I think they can say it's a pain tolerance thing. If you can handle it, go.
Right.
So that's why I think he could just, once he's going full speed again, which he's not doing in practice, he could re-injure himself is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Continuing on, Scotty. You know, so yesterday we read the report that Joe Flacco wasn't practicing on Wednesday. Yeah. Like, you know what, maybe a day of rest. Flacco says he's fine. John Harbaugh says should be good to go this weekend. He didn't practice again yesterday. And now, not that a quarterback that's been there forever needs to practice to play, but now I think the concern is rising a little bit of Joe Flacco not playing perhaps this weekend against the Jets. It's a good matchup for the skill position players, for Mike Wallace, for Terrence West, for Dennis Pitta, against a bad Jets defense that's reeling right now. If Ryan Mallett plays, not Ryan Merritt, the pitcher. If Ryan Mallett plays this weekend for Baltimore, what does this do for Mike Wallace, for Dennis Pitta, for Terrence West?
The Jets have been giving up a ton of big plays this year. Flacco's in there, and there are reports that they're not concerned about it enough where they don't feel he's going to miss the game, that he has a shot to play.
Having a shot to play
that he has a legitimate shot to play.
Right. Well, so my question was, though,
I
if
think
he doesn't
sounds,
play.
I think it sounds like a game-time decision.
Right. Agreed. Yeah. Totally. But if he doesn't play,
that takes away the deep ball from Mike Wallace, but I still think he might get some volume. And I see people all of a sudden picking up the Jets' defense. Sometimes, no matter what the matchup is, I can't feel comfortable using a certain player or unit.
Yep.
I wouldn't use the Jets defense even if Mallett started.
Let me go to you, Ronis, here. If Ryan Mallett does start, and again, Joe Flacco said he's going to play, but two missed practices, there's legitimate concern there, in my opinion. Ryan Mallett plays. Scotty thinks Mike Wallace will still get the volume. What about the other guys, Dennis Pitta, Kamar Aiken, and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I wouldn't really feel good about using any of them. I think the over-under is 40 on this game, which is extremely
very low
to begin with, and obviously that's Geno Smith related, but then if Flacco was out, boy, man, this could be disgusting. So I would probably try to avoid my Ravens receivers if Flacco's out.
I agree with you. And another injury that has kind of snuck up on us a little bit is T.Y. Hilton. He was limited on Wednesday, now mispracticed on Thursday. Again, Wednesday could be a bit of a veteran's day off. Thursday, he went from limited to nothing at all. We know Philip Dorsett's not practicing either. We know Dwayne Allen's not practicing either. What do you think about T.Y. Hilton? And if T.Y. Hilton doesn't play, are you firing up any of these Colts reserves? Chester Rogers, Jack Doyle. What do you think of what's going on in Indy?
All reports that Hilton's going to play.
Okay.
He hasn't been practicing a lot lately, and they obviously need him right now. So I think he's playing. I only feel good about Doyle in this offense and Gore. Outside of that, I'm not going to use any of the wide receivers. They've just all been ineffective. So we know they like to use a tight end in this offense. Doyle had 4 for 53 with a touchdown last week when Allen went out. So that's it. And the Colts offense, look, you got to downgrade them in a big way. We've seen it now. Andrew Luck's taking a lot of hits. He's not being protected. So this Tennessee defense is better than people think.
Yep, they've actually vaulted to fifth in the league in sacks with two consecutive six-sack performances. Maybe Chester Rogers gets a little bit more involved. They actually picked him up in one very deep league.
I picked him up as well, Scotty.
And they promoted Tevion Smith from the practice squad.
Right. So if T.Y. Hilton doesn't play, and Rona says he probably will, but if he doesn't play, would you start Chester Rogers in that deep league?
I'm considering it. It's very deep.
Right. So I picked up Chester Rogers also, just in case.
Yeah.
Never know. Also, another wide receiver that didn't practice after being limited on Wednesday is Allen Hurns. We brought him up on our target yesterday, Ronis. But, Scotty, Allen Hurns doesn't practice. It's a good matchup here for Jacksonville against Oakland. Is it Marquise Lee time?
Yeah. You know, they like throwing to him, you know, occasionally on key downs. I think it kind of bodes well for Julius Thomas, though, if Hurns doesn't play, because they really want to get him more involved.
So that would be your biggest benefactor, essentially.
I believe so. Okay. But I'm not, Marquise Lee get a little bit of a bump.
If Theo Riddick, as we continue on with injured players here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, 844-843-6879, if Theo Riddick does not play again, Ronis, what do you think of Dwayne Washington? Like, how much are you buying stock into Dwayne Washington?
I don't think you can play him. I like him long-term, but I think it's going to be tough to play him this week because we don't know exactly what the touch situation will be for him. No one has stepped up, and maybe they like what they see and roll with him. But, again, I think Detroit's running game has been a problem all season long. So I don't mind having Washington on my roster, but I don't feel good playing him this week.
Now, what if he's out there, Scotty, as a free agent, Dwayne Washington?
Would pick him up.
How much money would you spend on him if he was there right now?
I think today, if he's available, though, we don't have to go through bidding.
Well, people could have dropped him.
First come, first serve.
It could be, but people could have dropped him with the waiver on Tuesday, and he could be on waivers still.
Yeah, but most leagues, though.
What I'm telling you, in one particular league, he's out there on waivers, and you need to bid.
No, what I'm saying is that a lot of these things have, most leagues have the waiver bid process, and then everybody else becomes a like an unrestricted free agent, you could just pick him up.
Right.
And without bidding.
What I'm telling you is that someone may have dropped him on Tuesday, and he's now on waivers at the moment.
Yeah, so you have to put in your claim and see if it clears.
And you have to put in a bid for him.
Yeah, so I would bid.
And I'm asking for a friend, as you can stare at the computer and see, Scott, if you're understanding what I'm saying.
Okay, I just don't play in a lot of leagues like that.
No problem.
You know, after they do the waiver run, everybody's just, like, available first come.
Even
first
the people
serve.
That were dropped during the waiver run?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Or they go on waivers for, like, a day or two.
Without
bidding.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah. Okay. So, Dwayne Washington is available on waivers right now. He comes off waivers tomorrow. I'm going to bid him.
$100 cap?
$100 cap.
I would bid a good 17 or 18 on him.
I think that's way too high. I would not bid that much.
Okay.
What have we seen from the Detroit running game to have us instill any faith? And then Theo Riddick, when he comes back, obviously is going to be someone that still gets carries and receptions out of the backfield.
Yep.
So I'm not putting that much on him.
Give me a number.
Six.
All right. You said six. You said 17?
Yep.
So 23 divided by 2 is 12 and a half?
Yeah, there you go.
So I'll go with 13. There we go.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate it.
I mean, he has an opportunity. I would like to stash him, but I just can't spend a lot of money. I mean, right now they're talking about that they're going to split the reps evenly between Zenner and Washington this week. Washington, obviously, if he shows what we think he could do, should surpass Zenner pretty quickly. But, again, it's just the Detroit running game, which has shown nothing.
Yeah, nothing at all.
I think Washington's got an opportunity.
I think he has an opportunity. That's why I put 13 on it.
I do, too. I think we've talked about him for weeks, and I still have him on a couple rosters.
By the way, Jimmy Graham did not practice yesterday.
Okay. Is that a concern?
Yeah, it's a legitimate concern because he practiced in full on Wednesday, and all of a sudden he was out of practice yesterday.
With what?
I think it was a hip and a knee.
Okay.
And Vernon Davis is out there in a lot of leagues. So I already grabbed Duke Vernon Davis in the two leagues where I have Jimmy Graham.
So Jimmy Graham being out yesterday, a legit concern. We'll get more information to see if he practices today. Unfortunately, though, that's a Sunday night game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You might have to go with Davis in the early game if he's a game-time decision.
And who do we have? We have Monday night. Maybe if we get Virgil Green, he plays at least on Sunday. Or CJ, what's his last name? That guy?
Fedorich.
Fedorich.
Yeah, he plays Monday night.
I wouldn't bid on Virgil
He would be
Green.
The guy.
So go with the other guy. Fedorowicz
would be the
Fedorowicz.
Guy.
He plays Monday night.
He's available in a lot of leagues.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm starting him this week in an 18-team league with Witten on bye.
So maybe go with that guy, knowing that Graham plays Sunday night, Scotty.
Yeah, and you always got to take some time, okay, and comb through your free agent list like on a day like today where nobody's really doing waivers because you don't know who's going to be available. In my Scott Fishbowl league, you know, which is very, very deep, Adam.
That's hardly anything.
Fedorowicz was there.
He was in.
I picked
on him
up.
I had four tight ends. So.
Yeah, nobody bid on him this past week.
That's surprising.
I could not believe
that league. I think it's a full.
I could not
PPR
believe the host league where
else.
We used to be on a platform last night. I remember last night, like, damn, I forgot to bid on Mike Gillisley. I went to the the league, and he was friggin' there. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. That is stunning with the news that broke yesterday. Cause
yeah.
Nobody picked him up. I picked him up in our Joe's versus Pros league because I have McCoy. So as soon as I saw McCoy in practice, right away went and got Gillislee. And then in the league yesterday, the waivers didn't open. Well, we had the free agent bidding, and then the waivers opened at 11 a.m. And I'm obviously here at 11 a.m. getting ready to do the news desk. Popped right in and picked up Gillislee.
When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, we're going to give you our game-by-game previews and predictions here as we do each and every Friday. But first, I need to opine on this Josh Brown stuff since I'm the Giants fans in the room. We'll do it next. Back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, Greg Sussman, Scott Engel, and Aronis. We're going to do our game-by-game previews in a moment. The guys will make their predictions and what to watch for from a fantasy perspective. But if you just indulge me for a moment. The New York Giants have this reputation around the NFL of being, quote-unquote, classy. They are a classy organization for whatever that means or whatever that is worth. They are a team that... What are you laughing?
I'm wondering. I'm being serious, one of Adam's reaction on that.
I didn't say anything. It's just a reputation around the NFL. Is all I said.
Right.
I'm being serious for a moment. So they have this reputation, either in the NFL or outside the NFL, of being classy. Whether you're a fan of them or you're a Cowboys fan, it doesn't matter. And when the Ray Rice tape broke, John Mara, the owner of the New York Giants, and his co-owner Bob Tisch come out and said, we have a zero-tolerance policy. And Ben McAdoo, when he was hired, a zero-tolerance policy on domestic violence. Well, this past summer, Josh Brown was accused of domestic violence with his wife. Charges were not pressed. It was his ex-wife. It was long ago, quote-unquote. The Giants supposedly did their due diligence, suspended him for one game. The NFL domestic violence policy says... You're accused, you're convicted, or something with domestic violence, you're automatically suspended for 6 games. That was because they had no policy for Ray Rice and completely butchered that. The Giants, the NFL, both said they did their due diligence. Suspended Josh Brown for 1 game. And yet, when Josh Brown was in the Pro Bowl and needed to be in a separate hotel room because of his anger with his wife and his children, the Giants facilitated that. They put him in a separate hotel room. They took care of his wife and children, and they still felt the need to employ him. Again, zero tolerance policy when it comes to domestic violence. Then, information was released or discovered yesterday by SNY, by the New York Post, about Josh Brown having to go to some sort of rehabilitation for his anger management issues with his wife and children, saying things that he abused, harassed, assaulted his wife, saying that he was a god and he looked at his wife as a slave, that his children were scared of him. Now, Deadspin reported that the NFL, if they just tried to discover these documents, they could have done it. For the second time in now 3 years, the NFL comes off looking repulsive and like idiots and uninformed when it comes to the domestic violence policy. And the classy, quote-unquote, New York Giants, who had a reputation of just being one of the premier franchises in the NFL, takes what, in my opinion, is an unrecoverable hit. Because as I sit here on Friday morning, and we asked Russ Salzberg, who works for the New York Giants, we asked him about this almost 24 hours ago when this news broke. The Giants sit here having Josh Brown still employed with their team. I get it. It's football. You get many chances, especially in the United States. And I get it. When you have a good player, they get precedent over other players. Fine. A kicker should not be number one, those type of players. Number two, this domestic violence takes precedent over any of that. If Odell Beckham Jr., the Giants' best player, was accused or had a diary like this, I would say the same thing, that he should be suspended for the 6 games that the policy of the NFL states. Josh Brown should have been suspended 6 games at the beginning of the season, and now he should be cut. The Giants signed Robbie Gould yesterday to bring on the flight to London and said, we'll work out Josh Brown when we get back from London. There's nothing to work out. It's a very easy decision. He should be and should have been cut. And if the Giants want to be continue to be perceived as a classy organization, I do not see how that is possible. This is a major F-up by the NFL, a major F-up by John Mara and the Giants that I believe they should not be able to recover from. This is an awful job, and you know I am a major fan of the New York Giants. This is an awful job by them, an awful job by the NFL, and I am embarrassed that this is the team that I root for.
Yeah, it basically comes down to PR and public outcry, and that's why the difference is Ray Rice. There was video, and let's not forget Greg Hardy.
Absolutely.
If you read that stuff, it was atrocious.
It's disturbing.
So, again, no video there, so I guess the written word and visual images don't mean anything unless you actually see it. So this has been going on with the NFL, and the Giants should have done something sooner. They clearly had to know. They had to know.
Well, like I said, they knew about in the Pro Bowl that they had to separate the two and put them in separate hotel rooms. They knew that. So even if they didn't know the extent of this, they knew there's a history. It was not a one-time thing. Why is that worth it? And again, not to talk about certain players taking precedent, to keep an effing kicker. Like, are you kidding me? To keep a kicker? Come on. You know, I just don't understand. And you're right, Ronis. You need to see a tape, or you need to see written words like slave and God to cut them. Like, and you talk about public outcry and PR. Scotty, this team felt they could sweep it under the rug, suspend him for one game, and everybody will forget about it, and it goes in the rearview mirror. Well, you know what? I am glad this reared its ugly head again, because the Giants mishandled this. The NFL mishandled this. This is an embarrassment.
Yeah, and it's not like you can't find another kicker very easily on the streets. Not like Josh Brown was like Odell Beckham Jr.
But
something.
Even if it was Odell, he should be suspended.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
But I'm saying, it's like, it's kicker. You can easily find
Absolutely.
Another one.
It's a freaking kicker.
I'm stunned that they waited this long with him, too.
The they still haven't cut him!
I know.
They still have not cut this guy! Now, when Robbie Gould officially gets signed, maybe that's when they'll do it. But what could one of the two of you, who both know football intricately, could one of the two of you explain to me why he's still on the team?
It's confounding. It's confounding. I don't know why. Maybe he's got something on them. I don't know. Maybe he's got some pictures of Mara.
You talk about PR, Ronis. What good PR could come from keeping this guy?
I don't know. I really don't know what is the thinking going on right now in the Giants organization, and they're going to cut him. They definitely will, but it's kind of too late right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. It's way too late. They should have released a statement yesterday when this stuff came out saying, we were appalled by this. We never knew this was coming. Josh Brown is not a representation of the New York Giants, and he's no longer a member of the New York Giants. Short, simple, and sweet goodbye. And yet here he is. Oh, yeah, we'll figure it out after London. You freaking kidding me?
Yeah,
to me, that sounds like we'll figure it out after London, after we can see if we can let the story go away again.
Yeah, McAdoo was quoted as saying, we're not going to turn our back on Josh.
It's bad PR.
It's bad PR. It's disastrous, Scott. Like I said, I'm embarrassed. This is my team. Like, 'cause you don't expect this from your own team, especially when you are a fan of a quote-unquote classy team.
Yeah.
That's not right. It's just not right.
If you told me that this was going to happen in, like, you know, to a, quote, New York franchise, I'd be like, well, this is has Jets written all over it, you know?
Sure. But that's what I said. That's why I referred to them as a, quote, unquote, classy organization. Whether you're a Cowboys fan or not, they have that reputation.
Can you really remember any incidents like this in Giants history where, like, you just, you know, where the franchise was embarrassed? I know it, as a Met fan, I can certainly, you know, recall some of those instances.
Right.
I think the Yankees can even,
absolutely.
Yankee fans can recall that too.
Of course.
The Knicks fans can certainly recall that.
Well, I think the Giants, I mean, Plaxico shooting himself in the leg is pretty embarrassing, but that's more about Plaxico, not the organization.
Yeah. I would agree.
Nothing comes to mind like
Lawrence Taylor had some embarrassing moments, but his
that's
play,
more him,
was, play
right?
was so good on the field, like, people be okay.
Yeah. And that obviously is a culture that should not exist, that, oh, you're so good on the field, okay. And it does, right? It's one thing, let's go back to Geno Smith, right? He got punched by another player. And Aaron Rodgers got punched by another player. No one will be blaming Aaron Rodgers for this. So, again, it depends on the player. And in this case, if it depends on the player, if we still want to use that ridiculous logic, a freaking kicker still has his job. a kicker who can be replaced, a dime, a dozen.
Yep.
It's appalling.
I mean, you know, Robbie Gould, we thought his career was finished, you know?
No, he didn't. We were shocked when he was cut this weekend, Robbie Gould.
No, I'm saying after he was cut, I thought he was done.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't think he would be signed immediately by someone?
No,
like, I'm shocked the Saints signed Will Lutz over Robbie Gould.
No, unless a job opened, I didn't think, you know.
Well, job's always open, though.
It is?
Absolutely. Kicker jobs are coming over. They're always open. Absolutely.
Outside of Cleveland, what job became open?
Will Lutz in New Orleans. He was cut by Baltimore in training camp.
Yeah, but I'm saying by this point of the year, though, I didn't expect another job to open.
Oh, supposedly Gold is waiting for the quote-unquote right opportunity.
And here it is.
Here it is because he has an opportunity if he kicks well to be the long-term answer for the New York Giants. But it's not about a kicker. It's about a broken policy, a mishandling, and a misuse of the organization. Brutal, brutal job by the New York Giants.
Yeah, our Mike Blewett says NFL and G-Men look tone-deaf on Brown issue yet again, a seeming lack of interest in the truth.
Great tweet by Blewett.
And
true.
You can listen to him tomorrow morning on the Roto Experts Saturday edition with George Kurtz.
Yeah, absolutely, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network exclusively. I know that was not fantasy-related, and we'll go game by game when we come back at the top of the hour, but this was just bugging me. You saw it in the rundown, Scott. You brought it up to me before we even started the show, but it was bugging me, and I needed to just...
Yeah, it was the way you put it in the rundown. You were pretty upset.
I need to get it out because it was just stupid. Stupid. All right, when we come back, we go game by game, and what do you know, Scotty? We start with the New York Giants in London against the Los Angeles Rams. Hour number two coming up next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your host Greg Sussman, Adam Ronis, and Scott Engel is on now.
Back here now, all the Roto Experts in the Morning, Greg Sussman, Scott Engel, Adam Ronis here. No Mike Florio today for Is Mike Lyon. I'll be back next Friday. He's on vacation.
What?
But I have the questions.
Okay.
So we will still be playing Is Mike Lying? Just a new host. Some would say a better host, maybe. Just say. All right. Let's go game by game. Gentlemen, tell us what you're looking for from a fantasy perspective and make a prediction. Let's start with the Giants in London. We'll start with you, Scott Engel. The Giants are in London to face the Rams. The Giants are 3-point favorites.
I'm going to say Giants 24, Rams 17.
Ronis.
Similar. I got the Giants 23, Rams 17. I want to see if Kenny Britt can get it done. He's got a tough matchup here with Janoris Jenkins. So he's been really consistent, but it's a tough matchup. I want to see if they'll continue to throw to Todd Gurley because that raises his floor. For the Giants, you just want to see if that connection between Manning and Beckham could continue. It looked like finally the offense started to get going last week. So let's see if it continues, and I don't expect much from the running game again for the Giants.
Absolutely. They're not startable. All right. Saints and Chiefs. Ronis, Chiefs are 6-point favorites. Can the Saints get it done on the road?
I don't see it. It's a tough place to play. They generally don't play well on the road to begin with. They are terrible against the run right now, and that plays into the strength of the Chiefs with Spencer Ware and Jamal Charles. Ware clearly a must-start this week against the Saints. You could play Charles as well. They have said that they're not ready to hand over a full workload to Jamal Charles yet, but as we saw last week, he doesn't need to play a lot of snaps or get a lot of touches to be effective. Both could score touchdowns this week, so I don't see the Saints getting it done. So I got the Chiefs 30 and the Saints 17.
All righty, let's go to you, Scotty. Do you think that the Chiefs, both Jamal Charles and Spencer Ware, are startable this week?
Oh, yeah. You know, New Orleans, terrible run defense. Spencer Ware has, you know, been a godsend for that team at running back. Got him top 10 in my lineup ranks on rotoexperts.com. Party exclusive engine season fantasy football package at the free radio. Check out for a special discount. And I do have Jamaal Charles in the top 25. I think you can use him as a flex. I think Jeremy Maclin, who had a disappointing season to this point, can have a good game as well. But you know, don't get crazy here and start Alex Smith. I mean, we
a lot of people are doing that.
I think Alex Smith, who I don't even think is top 25 right now, not the type of guy that can take advantage of a matchup. I think what people have to remember here is a lot of times people just look at a matchup and start the other guy.
Yeah.
Some guys cannot consistently take advantage of the matchup. Alex Smith is one of those guys. You have to consider the quality of the fantasy player and selection as well.
Okay, so no Alex Smith for Scott Engel.
And yeah, the other thing too, okay, we've seen Alex Smith have several good matchups this year. Everyone was loving him last week against Oakland. They were so bad against the pass. What happened? 224, no touchdowns. Now, I think it should have been a touchdown to Dontari Poe. They ruled it a lateral, whatever. Either way, 22 pass attempts. Okay, now, when he had 50 pass attempts against Pittsburgh in a game that they were playing from behind, I don't think you're going to see this week, he had 287 and two touchdowns. The Jets, great matchup, 237 and a touchdown. So he's had one big game this year against San Diego week one, 363 and two touchdowns. And that was where he had 48 pass attempts. So in the games where he's had big passing attempts, it's been okay, nothing great. I just don't see how he can have huge pass attempts this week. They're going to have success on the ground. So I agree looking at the matchups, but, man, we've just seen Alex Smith kind of disappoint a lot. So in most scenarios, I'm not rolling with him. I just think there are better options out there. Smith has such a low floor. That's the problem.
He does. It's a great point. It's a great, great point, Ronis. All right. The Colts and the Titans. We talked a little bit, Scotty, about the Colts' injuries here. Titans' defense has been much, much better of late. Are there any Colts that you do trust? Let's say T.Y. Hilton plays. Besides T.Y. Hilton, are there any Colts you do trust this week?
The Titans' defense is tough. I would trust Frank Gore to get some volume.
Okay.
And I do have him like just around top 20. This week, I do like Jack Doyle because I think they're gonna look his way pretty often. Andrew Luck, let's see if T.Y. Hilton plays. If T.Y. Hilton doesn't play, I think that bumps him down considerably, I think, in my quarterback rankings.
Okay, Ronis, let's go to the Titans. A lot of the talk this week has been about Marcus Mariota and how he's been rushing quite a bit. He's entered the conversation of being, top 15 or so, or top 12 even, quarterback. Can Marcus Mariota keep it going this week against Indy?
Yeah, I think so. It's a great matchup here, and of course his floor has been raised each and every week now with the ability for him to produce on the ground. It's two straight weeks of 7 carries, 60-plus yards. You can't count on that efficiency to continue, but they are designing runs for him. We saw it early in the game last week, and he's been efficient, even though he hasn't put the ball in the air a lot, although this should be a phenomenal week for DeMarco Murray. But, yeah, I think Mariota has shown it now. You just worry, though, if they do go heavy with Murray, does it limit him? But he's been really good. Kendall Wright emerged last week as a vertical threat. So the Colts just don't rush the passer. They don't get sacked. So he's in a good spot here. So I think he's definitely a viable play this week.
I really like the Titans as a streaming defense this week. 6 sacks in each of the last 2 games. And looks like the Colts, who have offensive line issues to begin with, are going to be without center Jack Neuwirth this week as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. So we will let's continue on here with the predictions and the fantasy analysis. Minnesota in Philly, Ronis. Vikings come in actually as 3-point favorites in this game. They are coming off a bye, our Minnesota here, 5-0. Can Jarek McKinnon in this run game finally get going? I know it's been a struggle outside the Giant game. Can this running game finally get going?
The offensive line is a big problem right now. Philly has not been as good against the run the last couple of weeks, so I think there are better plays than McKinnon. I still think the ability is there for him, and he'll get going, but I just need to see more from this offensive line before I'm ready to go all in. And, of course, you got Matt Asiata, who could always steal a goal line carry, and they are going to mix him in. So I don't feel great. I think he's more of an RB2. I would start a guy like Gillislee over him if McCoy is officially out.
Let's go to the other side of things here, Scotty, in Philadelphia. Would you rather start is there any – I don't want to say it like that. Is there any way you can start Ryan Matthews this week?
I think if you're desperate and you're missing players at running back, if say you're missing a McCoy and you got an Elliott on and or say you have McCoy and Stewart in your backfield,
right?
You know, what are you going to do? You have to play Ryan Matthews to get some volume here, but outside of that, there's really nobody to like on this team offensively. You know, Minnesota's pretty much in shutdown mode.
Let me be honest with you, Scotty. I have Ryan Matthews in a league, right? And I have Ezekiel Elliott, as you just mentioned, on bye. So at my running back position this week, I'm starting Spencer Ware and Jerick McKinnon, two guys I like better than Ryan Matthews this
right.
week, right? At flex, I don't know what to do at the moment, in all honesty. I have options. Jack Doyle as a flex play, perhaps. Kenny Britt, I'm going to start. Kenny Britt's earned to start, I think.
Yeah.
So then it comes down to Doyle, Chris Hogan, Quincy Enunwa. I like all these guys better than Ryan Matthews this week against Minnesota.
I would probably it'd be between Doyle and Hogan for me.
That's what it is for me
and
as well.
And I think I would go with Hogan for a little bit more upside, but I wouldn't blame anybody for using Doyle for volume.
Well, for me, it's going to be if Pitta play, if because I have Dennis Pitta as well.
I would play Doyle over Pitta regardless.
You would play Doyle over Pitta? Mm-hmm. And then would you play Hogan over Pitta as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
So that's what you would do. Okay, that's one of my options.
By the way, if I'm a McKinnon owner,
yes,
I continue to be worried about Asiata because I know Asiata is not the most talented guy.
Yep.
But he's got a great work ethic. He understands the offense, and the organization likes him a lot. If McKinnon doesn't continue to flash his upside, you know, we've seen Asiata get involved in the passing game, et cetera. I feel like they always feel like if McKinnon doesn't work out, we'll give him the opportunity because he's got that promise. We can always go back to Asiata.
It's true. But
Asiata's a free agent in a lot of leagues, too.
However,
McKinnon
has looked good when he's gotten opportunities, though.
He looked good against the Giants, but he did in the last game, though.
But was that him or was it the line? Who are you blaming there?
What's that?
Are you blaming Jerick McKinnon or are you blaming the offensive line?
I think it's a little on both.
I think it's on the line.
I think you got to remember what Tony Sincotta said a few weeks ago. This is a guy that's still adjusting to the running back position at the NFL level.
Peterson was doing nothing. I know it was only a game and a half, but this offensive line is not run blocked at all, and that's why they're going to the pass a little bit more.
The thing with Asiata is, though, he'll get goal line carries, and he catches passes.
McKinnon does, too. I still think there's upside for McKinnon. Like, I know they're...
I do, too.
I think people are, like, panicking on him right now. I'd stick with him, be patient. I think he does get going.
They have to get him out in space. They got to throw him the ball. They got to be, you know, they have to, like, use misdirections, counters, draw plays to get him going.
Let's continue on, gentlemen. Cleveland and Cincinnati in the Battle of Ohio. Ronis, Cleveland's winning everything right now, so I think the Browns are going to win this game, right?
The Browns? Yeah, of course. They're going to definitely win. I think this is where the winning streak starts, and they reel off 10 straight and make the playoffs.
Wow.
The Bengals in a great spot here. Andy Dalton has put up great numbers this year, but I think you use him this week. There's some hope that Tyler Eifert returns, and that's going to be big because this team has been stalling in the red zone quite a bit. They really need Tyler Eifert back. So I see Dalton potentially putting up 2-3 touchdowns this week. The Browns have actually been decent against the run lately. So DeMarco Murray had 65 yards rushing on 21 carries against them last week, and Murray's been tearing everybody up. So I don't know. You would think the script would play in the favor of Jeremy Hill, but I don't know. I don't feel great about Jeremy Hill because you're so reliant on the touchdowns. And is Cleveland going to just – I mean, is Cincinnati just going to blow them out and run away with it? I don't know. I do think Cincinnati will play well. I like their defense as a streamer. I like Andy Dalton. I like Gio Bernard still a little bit. He's been playing a lot more than Jeremy Hill lately. So, but both are risky plays in terms of the touchdown. If you're looking for touchdowns and not PPR, Gio's been getting the work, but he doesn't score touchdowns.
I agree that it looks like a Jeremy Hill game, though. Like the game script seemingly, Scotty, does add up. All going to the Cleveland side of things, though. Terrell Pryor, they're hopefully he can play, but even if he does, they say that he very well could be limited. Do you think that – I mean, someone's got to catch passes from Cody Kessler, right? Somebody has to.
Cody Kessler didn't look bad last week.
All right, so Terrell Pryor –
Let me ask you a question. Yes, sir. I know you like trivia.
I love it.
What team has given up the most touchdown passes in the AFC?
Cincinnati?
No, you're close.
Cleveland?
Cleveland, 16. Who's second?
Cincinnati?
14, yes. So it's not like they're not vulnerable in the air. And people are forgetting about Isaiah Crowell because of a bad game or two.
Yep.
You know, the Bengals still allow 108 rushing yards on the per game on the ground. I wouldn't be surprised if Crowell has a decent day here. And, you know, Kessler has a decent day here. This is a divisional game. The teams know each other well. Neither team plays great defense right now. You know, Ricardo Lewis, you know, maybe somebody to keep an eye on. Gary Barnidge, you know, could get bigger volume here. So just because we're dealing with a lot of unknowns doesn't mean Cleveland can't produce some points.
So let me ask you, though, Scott. If Terrell Pryor doesn't play, if we think Cleveland's going to put up points, what do we do? Who?
See, that's the thing. I think if anybody, Ricardo Lewis, but can you trust it? No, you probably have somebody on your bench that you could probably go to if he doesn't play.
Okay, fair enough. Continuing on here, though, gentlemen, as we go game by game here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the Washington Redskins and the Detroit Lions. Washington is in Detroit. Matt Jones had a really good end of the game. Ronis says they're burning clock. I don't know what to make of it. What do you think of Matt Jones this week, Scott?
I don't think you ever know with Matt Jones from week to week, you know, what's going to happen here. The Lions allow 108 rushing yards per game. It kind of puts him towards the low end, but I think what you have with Jones is what the broadcasters were talking about. He's running better. You know, the coaching staff urged him, run like a big back, run behind your pads, be determined, be north right. and south. So I think that at least makes him a flex. DeSean Jackson didn't practice.
Yep.
So if he doesn't, you know, there's some interesting opportunities here, especially if you have a team that's depleted and you know, you're on a bye week. The Lions are 23rd against the pass, and no team has allowed more touchdown passes in the NFL, 17. So Kirk Cousins is a viable stream, but let's say DeSean doesn't play. You know, you're talking Jamison Crowder, maybe even Pierre Garçon, and Vernon Davis against a team that's been, like, worst against the tight end in fantasy football.
Ronis, let's go to you now on the other side of things with Detroit. No idea about Eric Ebron or Theo Riddick this week. I asked you, I think last Friday I actually asked you the same question with the Lions. I'll do it again. Anquan Boldin, do we like him this week?
I think if those guys are both out, we saw what they did last week. I think it's Anquan Boldin and Tate you have to like again. Redskins have actually been good against the pass. I know people are going to be worried about Stafford, but he's been pretty good outside of one game. So I just think
he's
that they're
damn good. What, like three touchdowns in four games already?
Yeah, and I know the matchup says run the ball on the Redskins, but I just don't feel like Detroit can. They've been so bad in the backfield that I still think Stafford's going to have to throw again. So I think you worry a little bit about Marvin Jones against Josh Norman. So you can downgrade him a little bit. I still want to start him in most instances. But, yeah, I think you could look at Boldin and Tate again, especially if Ebron and Riddick are out. We saw it last week, and that's probably what's going to happen again. I don't see as big a games as last week because, again, this Redskins pass defense is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
They have struggled against slot receivers, though.
Continuing on, the Raiders and the Jaguars. Adam, I'll start with you here with Jacksonville. Can you start Chris Ivory or T.J. Yeldon?
I can't right now. We don't know how the touches are going to be distributed. This shapes up as more of a passing game for them, and you're kind of rolling a dice. They said last week T.J. Yeldon's our feature back, and while he did play more snaps, we saw more touches for Ivory. He did score a one-yard touchdown, which I think we all thought that Chris Ivory was brought in for goal line carries. I still think Ivory can get going here. Over the course of the season, I'm still kind of holding on to him. You got to remember that he had the illness and didn't play the first couple weeks. Then they had the trip to London. They had a bye. So I feel like he hasn't really kind of established himself or got into a rhythm yet. But I just don't feel good about using these running backs right now.
By the way, a little bit of breaking news before we get to the Raiders, Scotty. I'll ask you about the running backs for that team as well. But the Giants said, even though we don't have to use probable, we're going to. Odell Beckham Jr., probable. For this Sunday, not even questionable. He's probable with that hip pointer, so no worries there with him. For the Raiders here, Scott, their running game, we mentioned Latavius Murray a little bit earlier on in the program, but Latavius Murray, DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard, it's kind of a mess, no?
It is, but they expect Murray to be back this week. Jacksonville's defense hasn't been terrible, and what's interesting with Jacksonville is 17-point comeback last week in the fourth quarter using the hurry up. If they do up the pace of the game, it would be interesting for the Raiders' offense. And it's hard to bench Mari Cooper or Michael Crabtree right now.
Yep.
But I think with all the running back injuries, I know in at least one league I'm forced to go with Murray. You know, it's either him or Zach Zenner. So, you know, I'm going to go with Murray there and, you know, hope he converts a short touchdown run. I'm actually faced with the decision with one league of going Carr or Bortles.
Carr or Bortles against each other?
Yeah.
I think I would go with Carr.
I'm leaning Bortles.
How come?
Just because the matchup is so good.
Sure. What the Carr's matchup is really good,
Adam,
too,
you said
obviously.
Bortles yesterday when I brought this up.
Did I?
I think you did.
I don't remember saying it, but yeah, it's so hard to trust him right now. Not that I'd probably go with him. The volume's there. It's a good matchup. You got to think that.
If they run the no huddle against Oakland, too, though, I like that.
Yeah, I'd lean Bortles. I know most people are going to say Carr, but remember, Carr wasn't great last week. They didn't have the football much, though.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just let's do a flashback here. If I asked Nando, what would he say?
Blake Bortles is not even close.
The Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins here. Mike Gillisley, we have talked about incessantly. Is Devontae Parker, Adam, ever going to get on track?
He's going to be inconsistent. He had a chance to score last week, dropped the ball in the end zone. Bills have been playing very well defensively, and it's really difficult to trust Tannehill at this point. So he's going to be erratic. I think he's a matchup play. The Bills have given up 3 touchdowns to wide receivers, 2 came in the first 2 weeks. So, they've gone against Arizona. Palmer played that game week 3, right? Yeah.
Did he leave the game in week 3?
Was it against the Bills? I know.
He played that game. He played that full game, I believe.
And look, they shut down the Patriots, so that was with Jacoby Brissett. So they haven't faced some of the better offenses in the league, but Miami's not a good offense. No. I mean, Ryan Tannehill's not someone that's threatened. So, yeah, I don't think Devontae Parker is – this is not a week for Devontae Parker.
For Buffalo, Charles Clay, I ask about him every week. What do you think of him, Scott?
I think especially if Woods is out, you know, they're going to have to, you know, give him some work. Miami's got that awful run defense. It's the worst in the AFC. So I think that's where they focus. But Miami's not too good against the pass either. 236 yards per game allowed and 9 touchdowns. It's just like somebody has to step up here. You just don't know who it is. You know, Brandon Tate and Marquise Goodwin could be starting a wide receiver. Look, Tyrod Taylor can still get the job done.
Would it be probably Justin Hunter? Justin Hunter would start a wide receiver, right? Over Brandon
Tate's next up on the depth chart.
I have to imagine it would be Justin Hunter.
Yeah, though. But you're right. I have to imagine it would be Hunter.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a game where Hunter actually gets involved.
Maybe.
You know, he did catch a touchdown
two
weeks ago.
Absolutely. Baltimore and the Jets, we talked about this just a few minutes ago. Geno, perhaps against Ryan Mallett, that will be a barn burner for sure.
Yes.
Jets are actually favored in this game at home, even if Joe Flacco is playing, it seems like, with Geno Smith. You're going to start Brandon Marshall, Scott. You know that. You have no choice.
One league I do have a choice.
And we talked about it yesterday.
Starting him over Emmanuel Sanders.
Right. So basically,
Brandon Cooks.
By starting him over both of those guys, you're basically saying you have to start Brandon Marshall still.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Adam pointed to some numbers. I know Russ Salzberg of Fox 5 here in New York said it's going to affect Marshall, but I still think, you know, Brandon Marshall's a must-start. He's a superstar wide receiver who's often got the job done with extenuating circumstances around him of his entire career. There's a guy that's never played a playoff game and has dealt with a lot of adversity and, you know, has put up some good numbers. So I still like Brandon Marshall. Baltimore, you know, they're good against the pass numbers-wise, but they have allowed 12 touchdown passes. So if one guy gets in the end zone, it's Brandon Marshall.
Do you think, though, Scott, anybody else in this Jets offense right now is startable?
If it's a bye week and you need Bilal Powell, you know, maybe you can roll him out there. Quincy Enunwa, maybe in a 14-team league, you know, you can roll with him. But, you know, because we saw Geno Smith look his way late in the game last week, but that's about it.
I know Matt Forte, obviously, is there. He has struggled very, very much so, though, Ronis.
Yeah, I mean, he's seeing less snaps on the field. He's not even being involved in the passing game. Powell's taking that away, so that lowers his floor in a PPR format. I mean, he's generally been getting 2 receptions a game. He's being out-snapped significantly. Maybe this game it could change, only because I don't expect Baltimore to run over the Jets and steamroll them and open a big lead. This game could be competitive, and
right,
especially if Flacco's out. So that
could mean more for Forte this week, but I still cannot put him in my lineup with confidence. Baltimore's been pretty stout against the run. So, yeah, I mean, Marshall's really the only guy I feel comfortable. Maybe Powell in a PPR format where it's deeper. But, yeah, this is really it's a very unappealing game for fantasy purposes unless you want the defenses.
We'll do the 4 o'clock games and Sunday Night Football when we return. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Scott Engel, Greg Sussman, Adam Ronis, hanging out with you. And we get to the 4 o'clock games. Is Mike Lyon coming up next? You don't want to miss that. It'll be fun. Scotty, San Diego and Atlanta this week. This should be high scoring. The over-under is 54. I have to imagine that is the highest over-under of the weekend, and it very much is, very, very clearly so is. San Diego, we'll start with them. They had a big win last week against Denver at home on Thursday night. 10 days off, and now they go into Atlanta. What are you expecting out of the Chargers this weekend?
I think most people are expecting this as a shootout. Atlanta 26 in pass defense. They've allowed 14 touchdown passes. So, you know, Rivers is going to register here, and that'll put Melvin Gordon in line for some short touchdown runs. Like Tyrell Williams, Travis Benjamin is back at practice, and Hunter Henry's playing like a tight end one right now. So even in DFS, you know, consider one of your lineups. You run multiple lineups out there. Consider that Chargers stack.
Ronis, Scotty says, consider the Chargers stack. What are the other side with Atlanta? Can Tevin Coleman and Devonta Freeman continue to do what they've been doing?
Yeah, this is a great spot for Atlanta. They're coming off four road games out of five, and they were impressive in Denver despite not putting up great fantasy numbers for Matt Ryan. And even though they lost last week in Seattle, great game for Matt Ryan. So this team has proven itself. I think Matt Ryan obviously is a must start now, and people say, why are you saying that? Well, there's a lot of people who picked up Matt Ryan off the waiver wire or drafted him as a second QB behind some guys that we perceived as QB1s before the year that are not now. So Matt Ryan's got to be in your lineup. I think you love Devonta Freeman here. He's cheap on DraftKings, too. I think he was 5'9", if I'm not mistaken. Tevin Coleman, I think, is in play as well. You know, Coleman still played 46% of the snaps last week, but he had a season low in touches with 7, and part of that was the matchup there against Seattle. And the San Diego's actually been pretty good against the run, but where they struggle is running backs catching passes out of the backfield. They are allowing 9 receptions per game to running backs. That's good for Coleman. We know that Coleman has that big play ability, so both those guys are in play. Julio Jones, obviously, phenomenal start here. They have no one that's going to cover him. He's going to be a very popular play in DFS this week. He's expensive, but I think you pay up for him, and especially with all the values at running back, you can do it. This is going to be a really high-scoring game. I think you like both offenses in this one.
Tampa Bay and San Francisco. Right now, the line is even. So it's a pick 'em game, and this sounds like a game for Dick Stockton to announce, because it's going to be bad. I'm going to go to the 506 and find out exactly who's announcing this game. Tampa Bay, though, coming off their bye, no Doug Martin. Jaquizz Rodgers is going to be in there. What do you expect from Jaquizz Rodgers, Ronis? I mean, are you expecting another 35-touch game from him? What are you expecting here?
I don't think 35 touches in. The more I think about this, I'm starting to worry that he's going to let people down.
Really?
Yeah. I think you have to play him, obviously. I'm going to go by the numbers here. Again, I don't think Jaquizz Rodgers is that good. We have seen it. And he was not good in that game against the Panthers. He got volume. He got 35 touches. He barely got over 100 yards rushing. But, I mean, San Francisco is just getting gashed on the ground really bad. It's 3 straight games of at least 174 yards rushing, 9 rushing touchdowns. Since Navarro Bowman has been out, they've been awful. So you play him, but I think it's not crazy to fade him in DFS, just because there are other cheap running backs. Like I like Gillislee better than Jaquizz Rodgers this week.
Do you like Mike Davis better than Jaquizz Rodgers
game? No.
Okay. Just wanted to see how far you went with that. On the other side of things, Scott, I'll ask the same question. Do you like Mike Davis this week?
You take a look at Tampa Bay, and they're 17th against the run. But I think if anybody's going to get in the end zone there, you have one of two options if this team is going to move the ball, and I think they will against the 20th ranked pass defense. You know, it's either Davis or Colin Kaepernick. So I think if you're desperate, you might see a lot of Sean Drone, too. This could be a timeshare, but I prefer Davis out of the two. As far as Kaepernick goes, like I said, I'm starting him over Carson Palmer this week. You saw him not play well from the passing perspective, but get 66 rushing yards. He ended up with 19 fantasy points in a mediocre performance last week. Imagine if this guy has a decent passing performances. Do not be afraid to use Colin Kaepernick this week.
Scotty, talking up. Cap. The Patriots and the Steelers in Pittsburgh. How badly does Landry Jones affect the other skill position players, Sammy Coates, Antonio Brown, etc., Scott?
Well, you go to Michael Waterloo's latest column on rotoexperts.com, and Michael actually covers the Steelers for Pittsburgh Sporting News, talks extensively about how badly it's going to affect Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown has never caught a touchdown pass from anybody else in his career other than Roethlisberger. Last year, in five games without Roethlisberger, he averaged about six catches and 68 yards a game, which makes him a wide receiver three. We haven't seen anything to convince us that Landry Jones can throw an effective deep ball. So it makes Brown a wide receiver three. It makes Sammy Coates not startable. This really bogs down the offense and makes the New England defense a very good start.
You know,
the only thing is in Brown's favor is that people always talk about with New England how they take the favorite toy away from the other team.
Yep.
Well, the favorite toy is not Antonio Brown. It's Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
Because Roethlisberger isn't there. So that means, you know, that Antonio Brown could still be good for 5 for 50.
Ronis, you know what's interesting? After last week, there was all these updates on Sammy Coates with the stitches in his pinky finger, breaking another one. We haven't seen one update at all about Sammy Coates this week. I guess he's healthy. I guess he's going to play. But unfortunately, we can't start him given that Landry Jones is the quarterback.
Yeah, I think no one cares. That's why.
That's what it is.
Well, fantasy guys, you know, because people digging up and trying to tweet links, finding a Coates, they don't care because they're like, we're not playing him. You know, he's very reliant on the deep pass, and that's the strength of Ben Roethlisberger. He throws a really good deep ball. So you want to couple the injury, the quarterback situation, and the defense. Yeah, look, I have Sammy Coates in a couple weeks. I'm not even thinking about playing him. I just don't see how you can. The injury factor is just another cherry on top that we saw last week. You think he played 15 snaps. So it's just a bad situation. You're only playing Le'Veon Bell. You know he's going to get a lot of carries. The question is, you know, he's probably not going to be in scoring position that much. And you're going to play Antonio Brown. He did have one big game last year with out Roethlisberger, 6 for 124, but the floor is certainly lowered. Look, if Brown goes out there this week and gives you 5 for 45, don't be surprised. But for the most part, you're playing him. Maybe he's not a wide receiver one, and if you're a really deep, shallow league, you have Antonio Brown. I could see a few scenarios where he's benched, but for the most part, no. You're just playing him, and you're crossing your fingers.
Okay. The Seattle Seahawks in Sunday Night Football face-off against the Arizona Cardinals. Scott, you reported earlier Jimmy Graham missed practice yesterday. This is a legit concern for Seattle. Now, Arizona has Patrick Peterson, but he doesn't really go in the slot, right? Which means Doug Baldwin could be okay?
Doug Baldwin has had 100-yard games against the Cardinals in two of his last three. Check out my preview on Seahawks.com right now from fantasy perspectives. And I think he can have a bounce-back game this week, but this team they're very stingy. They only allow 12.6 points to opposing fantasy quarterbacks. So I think Russell Wilson in his physical state, where he's not quite 100%, is just outside the top 12 at running back. I think Christian Michael, you start him regardless against anybody. Graham was looking for his fourth straight game of six catches and 85-plus yards. The Cardinals actually are the best team against the tight end, but they really haven't faced anybody of Graham's caliber. I think, you know, if there's no Graham this week, it's a lot of Michael, it's a lot of Baldwin, and this could be an opportunity for Tyler Lockett to get back involved in the offensive flow if there's no Graham.
Well, let's go over to you, Ronis, on the other side with Arizona, playing a tough Seattle defense. Who do you trust? I mean, forget David Johnson, obviously. I think you start Larry Fitzgerald as well, given his role in this offense. Can you start John Brown this week? I know you don't want to start Michael Floyd this week, obviously.
Brown didn't practice yesterday, too, man. Yeah.
Well, what was Brown's injury? What's Brown's injury right now?
I don't know, because it didn't happen in a game.
Right. So we say that. Hold on. Because it's interesting that he didn't practice yesterday. Because He had a ham. He didn't practice. He was sidelined with a hamstring injury, and now his week seven status is up in the air. Now he played in the second half. Obviously, he came out and they ran that same play to the right side over and over and over against the Jets on Monday night. Michael Floyd did start the second half in two wide receiver sets. Maybe he had trouble getting loose with that hamstring. Maybe there's something there. All right, John Brown doesn't start. Can you start Michael Floyd?
I don't see how you could feel good about it at this point. He had two targets last week. You're hoping for a red zone. And again, this is not an easy secondary. I know they're a little worse defensively on the road. But again, Carson Palmer has looked bad. I just don't see how you... This is not the same Cardinals offense that we expected going into the year that we went through last year with. He just doesn't look right. Something is wrong. Whether he's towards the end of his career, he's just not throwing with good velocity. I know he had they said hamstring injury late last week, and then they said in the game, and they said it's cramps, but he's been awful this year. So, no, I don't feel good. I don't see how you can bank on Floyd in this situation.
Seattle actually have its worst defensive performance at home this year.
Right.
And Cam Chancellor could miss the game again. And if he misses the game again, that makes me like Larry Fitzgerald a little bit better.
By the way, it does look like he's a very good chance Cam Chancellor does miss that game.
Yeah.
By the way, I dropped Michael Floyd this week, as you said, for Kenny Britt. Ronis, we talked about that earlier. And I think the Chester Rogers in this league, just in case T.O. Hilton didn't play, we just talked about that, Scott. And then I realized, you know what? Do I really want Chester Rogers, or should I just go back to Michael Floyd? And I just cut Chester Rogers for Michael Floyd.
That's what I would do.
Because
yeah.
I can't quit this guy.
I can't either. I'm holding on to him.
I can't quit this guy.
It's hard to feel good about starting him right now, especially when... You know, we barely saw him in the first half. He played 48% of the snaps last week. Now, that should go up if Brown is out.
Right. And like I said, I cut him, brought him back just now because I can't stop with Michael Floyd. If someone else, if he goes off for someone else, I'll never forgive myself. All right, we'll take the early break now. When we come back, let's play Is Mike Lyon with a special guest host. The Roto Experts wrap up right after this. It's final 20 minutes of the program here at Roto Experts in the Morning. Scott Angle, Adam Ronis, Greg Sussman. Now, every Friday, we usually wrap up the week playing Is Mike Lyon. Mike Florio on vacation, which means we have a guest host. So, the guest host today is me, Greg Sussman,
Wonderful.
Hosting Is Mike Lyon. So, Ian, if you can give me some music. Ronis won in overtime last week. You are 2-0 on this version of the Roto Experts in the Morning. 2-0 here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Angle, you will try to make a comeback as the Cubs have last night, going from down 2-1 of the series, up 3-2, going home to face Clayton Kershaw and the Los Angeles Dodgers. They need to just win one out of two to go to their first World Series in 71 years. With that being said, let's play as Mike Lyon.
Okay.
Here we go. I apologize for the questions in advance because, you know, I created them and not Florio. Here we go. We'll start with you, Scott, as the challenger. Greg Olsen has more catches for 20-plus yards than T.Y. Hilton.
I'm going to say this is true.
I will say... That this is true.
And we've stumped both of you immediately. This is false. I am lying to you. Greg Olsen has 9 20-plus catches. T.Y. Hilton has 10.
Sounded like a trick question.
Well, it did, and it was close. And I know Olsen's had a lot of big plays. I know T.Y. has two, but I thought maybe it was... All right, well, it was close, so it's not like it was 10-2.
No, of course not. It was obviously very close. Greg Olsen showing you what kind of animal he can be, one of the best big play wide receivers in the NFL, and T.Y. Hilton right there with him. No score after one. Ronis, you were up first in this question. Martellus Bennett, the Black Unicorn, has more yards after the catch than Julio Jones.
I will say that is... False.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's false, knowing what Julio Jones did last week in 300-yard game.
It is true. He has more yards after the catch. You both are 0-for-2. My questions are too hard for you, gentlemen. 226 yards after the catch for Martellus Bennett, which is second in the NFL. 215 for Julio, which is third. Would you guys like to guess who's first yards after the catch? I think it's gettable, in all honesty.
Beckham.
It is not Odell Beckham. If you think about it, you can figure it out.
Brandon Cooks?
It is not Brandon Cooks. Remember, it's yards after the catch. It's Tevin Coleman with 271. So many of his catches.
I wasn't thinking of running back.
Right. So many of his catches and receptions are just dump-offs, and he goes far. 271 to lead the NFL. Yep. 0-for-2. Scotty, you are up next.
Okay.
Quincy Enunwa has more targets than Allen Robinson.
True.
Ronis.
I think it is true.
You're both 0-for-3 now.
I'm just gonna start going the other way.
Oh my goodness! Quincy Enunwa has 45 targets. Allen Robinson, in what has been a bit of a down year for him, has 47. So still more targets for Allen Robinson. 0-for-3 to start off the program. If you are interested,
this is the week for Allen Robinson.
Maybe it might be against the Raiders. Absolutely.
Hurry up offense.
We'd love to hear your thoughts. It is Mike Lyon at 844-843-6879. I'm just filling in for Mike. 844-84-FNTSY. Exactly, exactly. Tweet at us at FNTSY Radio, at Scott E. Oroto X, at Adam Ronis, and at myself, Greg Sussman. Both Ronis and Angle are 0-for-3 today. Ronis, you're up first here. According to UberFacts.
There we go.
Humans share 60% of their DNA with bananas.
False.
So unique, I'm going to say true.
So it is false. Rhodes gets on the board. They share 50% of their DNA with bananas. Not 60%. Rhodes gets on the board.
I can't believe Rhodes didn't say something about, you know, bananas.
We're not a lowbrow program here, just saying.
We are.
For now. I hear things could be changing. 1-0, Adam Ronis. Are you ready for the next one, Scotty?
Yeah.
All right, number 5. Derek Carr averages more yards passing per game than Kirk Cousins.
I'm going to say false.
Ronis.
So you said Carr averages more?
More yards passing per game than Kirk Cousins.
False.
You're both correct, finally. It is false. Carr has 268 yards per game. Cousins has 283. Is that a surprise to you, Scotty?
No.
No, Carr had a game. Carr had a down game last week, and Cousins is consistently throwing every week.
Yeah.
Okay. So, not a surprise here. Kirk Cousins versus Derek Carr. Ronis, you're up first here. It's an interesting question because Scott had a question about this quarterback earlier on the show. This is number 6. The score is 2-1, Ronis. We're halfway through. Blake Bortles has more touchdown passes than interceptions.
More touchdowns than interceptions?
Yep.
I think this is true.
Scott?
I'm going to say true.
Blake Bortles has 8 touchdowns. And 7 interceptions. It is true. Ronis, did you know that one?
I was pretty sure, yeah.
Pretty sure of that one. That felt like that was your
think most, about that one.
That was your most confident answer, it seemed like to me. That Bortles, even though he kind of stinks, still has one more touchdown pass than interceptions. 3-2, Ronis. We go to question number 7, starting with Scott Angle. Scotty, LeGarrette Blount has more rushing attempts than Melvin Gordon.
I'm going to say true.
Okay.
Blount more than Gordon?
Rushing attempts than Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. I think it is true.
It is true.
He had so many the first four weeks. Yeah. I know Gordon's had a lot, though, too. It's got to be close.
It is very close. Yeah. LeGarrette Blount has 119. Melvin Gordon has 116. So it is very, very close. Obviously, the usage continues on for Melvin Gordon. LeGarrette Blount going down a little bit. We'll see if this is true for another week next week on the show. We're through 7 questions. Ronis holds a 4-3 lead. Okay. Number 8. Scott Angle. I'm sorry, Adam Ronis. You went first last time. Sorry, Ronis is on you. According to Uber Facts, the mayor of Talkeetna, Alaska, Mayor Stubbs, is a cat.
Sounds so absurd, so I say it's true.
I say it's true.
It's true.
You know about cats.
Meow.
Yeah, Mayor I like kitties.
Mayor Stubbs is a cat. In fact, he's an elected cat. He's been in office for quite a while. People like that he hasn't raised taxes.
I'm guy. Can I vote for a cat next month?
You can absolutely vote for a cat, right? Write in your vote. So basically,
what's your cat's name?
Pee-wee.
All right, I'm voting for Pee-wee.
Vote
for Pee-wee, go!
Pee-wee. You know,
Pee-wee's too old to run for office.
It doesn't matter. I'll take one term.
She just wants to stay at home and rest.
You know, it's interesting.
Like the rest of the presidents.
It's true. By the way, so I heard this is, I don't know if this is confidential or not, Scott, so I apologize. So when Scott was looking for apartments earlier this summer, he would, you know, he called many different brokers, and unfortunately it was a tough search for you. And he called everybody and said, my cat's on its last legs. I'm not buying another one, just so you know. My cat's going to die soon. Oh, you poor Pee-wee.
Look, I just said it, and, you know, it got me in where, like, a lot of cases where they wanted no pets, it got me in the look.
Poor Pee-wee.
I said, look, we're not, you know, I had to be straightforward about it. I said, you know, because a lot of people worry about cats, and they're going to scratch things up, and they're going to pee all over the place. It's not going to happen with her.
Right. You've been Pee-wee for a long time, right?
Yeah, since 2002.
It's a long time.
Actually, no, 2004.
She may be on her last legs.
Yeah. All she does is follow you around now until you feed her, and then she goes to lay down.
That sounds like Mike's girlfriend.
Oh, my, which Mike? Gloria?
What?
Which Mike?
I said it sounds like my ex-girlfriend.
I thought you said Mike's girlfriend.
No.
Oh, God. All right, let's get back to the game, please. 5-4, Ronis.
He doesn't like to be distracted.
Angle.
Kind of thing.
David Johnson leads the league in runs of 20-plus yards.
I'm going to say it's false.
I think it is false as well.
It is false.
Yeah.
It is false. David Johnson is third in yards, more rush. Sorry, in the league, in runs of 20-plus yards. You are absolutely correct. It's false. Can you tell me who's ahead of him, either of you?
DeMarco Murray.
No.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott leads the league with 7 yards of 20-plus.
He's second?
Zeke is first.
No.
Johnson is third. There's somebody in between them.
I'd say McCoy.
It is McCoy, yep. LeSean McCoy at 6.
Yeah, David Johnson, you think, would be up there. But he's close. He's a big play guy. I'm surprised he's third.
He's third.
Only 5?
Only 5.
Well, I think he only had one last week.
Remember, this doesn't include
receptions. Yes, that's probably
longer.
Where he got
just,
more of
it. It's just runs.
Right.
So, all right, the final question. Ronis is up 6-5. Scott, I will just preface this. You need to go separate from Ronis in order to have any chance to win. And luckily for you, Ronis does go first. Just say it. You've not played strategy previously, and is Mike lying? Called me up. Here we go.
How am I going to play strategy if I know the answer, you know? If I know it's true, I'm going to say false.
Yes, maybe you forgot something.
Yeah. No, that means I lost and I lost. So, you know, at least I have another point.
Nobody remembers the points. It's the winners that go down in history.
Nobody's going to remember this game a year from now.
I remember it every week. I hope so.
I'm putting it on my resume.
I'm going to mention it every Friday, and we're going to be on the year.
That's because you're obsessed with being a game show.
Correct. So?
Yeah.
We want Ronis to go undefeated forever?
He's not undefeated.
On this network, he is.
Yes, on this show. He started from a clean slate.
Absolutely. All right, here it is.
He'll get defeated.
Maybe he'll get defeated today. He goes separately. Here he goes. Spencer Ware, Ronis.
Your guy.
My guy. Has more rushing yards than Isaiah Crowell.
All right. 2 weeks ago, we would have said for sure, right? I will say true.
Scott Engel, Spencer Ware. Has more rushing yards than Isaiah Crowell.
I will say false.
So, all right, you've said false. Now, are you saying that because you know it's false, or are you saying that because you're just going to go opposite of Ronis?
No comment.
Whatever the reason is, you are correct, Scott Engel. It is false. Spencer Ware has 415 yards rushing. Isaiah Crowell has 432. We, gentlemen, are going to overtime.
I should have known that even as bad as Crowell was the last 2 weeks, that Ware had that one game where
he
was all receiving yards. Yeah.
He had a bye as well.
Yeah.
I think it's the second time me and Ronis are going to overtime in 4 weeks.
Second time? Last week.
Yeah.
Last week to overtime. Yeah. All right, here we go. Overtime! Scott Engel, number 11.
Benny Hill music.
That's right. Not in a minute with Benny Hill last night.
What?
True story.
Get out. I thought Benny Hill wasn't alive.
I didn't say which Benny Hill. I just said Benny Hill. Jeremy.
Not that Benny Hill.
Jeremy Curley has more targets than Michael Crabtree.
I'm going to say false.
Okay. Rodas.
Oh, man. This is... It is. I'm going to say false. I kind of think it's true, though.
It is true.
Damn it! Because he was averaging 9 per game up until last week.
You had a chance to win it there, Ronis. You did not take it.
Damn, man.
Kenny Stills.
Jeremy Curley has 53. Michael Crabtree, 48. A chance
even
to win
with,
it.
Even with just two last week, I think Curley, right? But I knew he was averaging 9 going into last week. Damn
Ronis did not take the opportunity to knock Scott out.
I decided to play it safe.
He played it safe, and now we continue on.
Oh, man, I've
and
messed up twice.
And you go first
here.
Now.
I messed up twice.
Here we go. Marcus Mariota has thrown for more touchdowns this year than Eli Manning.
I'm going to say that is... See. I'm going to say that is true.
Scott Engel.
True.
You both, that was a very convincing true, Scotty.
Yeah.
You really believe that?
Yes.
Well, you should have. It's true. Marcus Mariota has 10. Eli Manning has 8.
I was thinking
8.
About Odell not catching any.
We continue, and now we go to... Triple overtime.
It's like a friggin' hockey game.
All right.
And the playoffs, because they have shootouts in the regular season.
Here we go. Didn't have a question prepared for this one. All right.
On the cusp. Will it come down to Uber facts.
All right, here we go. I'm not going to do Uber facts. It doesn't seem fair. Okay, here it is. Scotty. Frank Gore has fumbled the ball more times than Todd Gurley.
I'm going to say false.
I'm going to say false as well.
It is false. Todd Gurley has 2 fumbles. Frank Gore has 1. We continue on to quadruple overtime here. Here we go. Ronis. Will Fuller has more receiving yards than DeSean Jackson.
Ooh. I'm going to say this is false.
True.
We will obviously have a winner because you disagreed. The question was, Will Fuller has more receiving yards than DeSean Jackson. Ronis has said it's false. Scott Engel has said true. The winner of Is Mike Lying with special guest host Greg Sussman. And still the defending and undisputed champion, Adam Ronis. Will Fuller has 327 receiving yards. DeSean Jackson has 333.
Yeah, I knew it was close, but Fuller had 2 really bad games. DeSean actually had 2 good games early on. Scott, I know, was probably remembering the 1-for-5 because we were talking about it yesterday. Mm-hmm. But Fuller had nothing last week, and he was active.
Very.
But I knew it was close. I wasn't 100% sure, but also it seemed like all the questions were today, like tricks where you knew it was close. And the perception is Jackson's had a bad year.
Sure.
And he has been boom or bust. But Fuller, I remember, he had the bad game against New England, bad game against Minnesota, and nothing last week. So that's what led me to say that. But I knew it was close.
Which one do you like better going forward, Will Fuller or DeSean Jackson?
I like a healthy Will Fuller.
A healthy Will Fuller, Ronis?
I'm going to go Jackson. I know he's boomer bust, but he's in the better offense. You're worried. I would have to look at the schedule a little further to break it down because, like right. I said, I'm not playing Will Fuller against good defenses. We have seen this Texans team against good defenses. They do not show up.
That is going to do it for us here this week. It's been fun. The Fantasy BFFs, the best friends forever, with Nato DeFino and Jake Seeley come up next. For Scott Angle and Adam Ronis, I am Greg Sussman. Have a wonderful Week 7. Good luck, and we'll see you on Monday morning here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. That's a wrap.